Picture this. You are a crook, a dentist, a med spa owner. Your practice is thriving, a lot of patients holding you, a wait list for appointments. But you want to expand, hire another provider, open a second location. So you walk into a bank and suddenly you're asked to put your house on the line. 6 weeks of paperwork, personal guarantees, and maybe, just maybe, a no at the end of all. What if I told you there is a completely different way, one that looks at your actual business, not just your credit score, one that connects with you with multiple lenders in days, not months. Welcome back to Data Science with Sam, where we explore the innovations reshaping healthcare. I'm your host, Sam, and today we're diving deep into a critical but often overlooked challenge, how independent healthcare clinics access capital to grow. My guest today is Sharmin, founder of Livora, a lending as a service platform that's transforming how women-owned healthcare practices connect with funding. Instead of the typical 6-week slog through paperwork and personal guarantees, Livora is creating a faster, fairer path to capital. Sharmin, welcome to the show. I'm really glad to have you in this episode.
Sam, thank you so much for the great introduction. And I'm also very excited to be a part of your data science cast.
Thanks, Sharmin. Let's start at the beginning. Can you share what inspired you to found Livora to address healthcare financing challenges? Also share your personal journey to found that organization.
Yeah, so I am a product designer. I had been working in design leadership since last 13 years. And my brain is trained to solve human problems in either in human spaces or softwares. And I came to a point of my career where I started seeing bigger problems than solving small issues in the softwares, and which were not being solved by human-centered design. And so I came to a point when I really wanted to exercise my passion and my profession towards solving a bigger problem. And while I was looking for that, where I can be used, where my skills can be applied to do a better change and make it the better place, I found one problem kept coming on when I was researching, is that small businesses, especially those clinics, chiropractor, dental, med spa especially, they had been rejected for the loans if they want to grow. And it was completely unrelated to the patient care. They had bookings, they had a profitable business, but they still kept being rejected. And then I started my interview journey to understand that what's happening and why they are rejected. And what I found is that most of the lenders and the banks, they start with the credit boxes and not how the clinic actually runs. And this is where I found my sweet spot to start the lending platform Livora. And to solve the problem, how the clinics can get funding, can get loans without multiple weeks of hustles with bank and with alternate lenders.
That's a powerful origin story. And thanks for sharing that with our listeners. Now, when people think about getting a business loan, they usually think banks, credit checks, collateral, mountains and paperwork. How does your human-centered approach fundamentally differ from traditional bank lending for independent clinics or practitioners?
This is where I found that the banks are extremely focused on financial models. What are the numbers looking on the spreadsheets? While the clinic, they are not the finance people. If you ask them how to calculate DCSR, they have no idea. And the problem that I kept looking in this area is that this area has not been involved. The finance area from banks and the alternate lenders has not been evolved since last 20 to 30 years. They are still working on those old school PDFs, the same way of spreadsheets, the cells and everything, the way they had been doing 1970s, 90s. And this is where I see that there is a real innovation and AI that we can do this. So the way I started to solve this problem is I first started analyzing how a clinic works. So a clinic, giving you a recent story, I was working with a clinic and I saw that she has a strong booking for next two months. And she still got rejected by the bank. And the reason why she was rejected is because as per today and as per her 3 months history, she did not have enough revenues. But the bank was not looking at the potential thanks to all the bookings that is happening in her calendar. So what I did is I translated those bookings into the revenue forecast in a document and then showed it to the lenders. And this process changed the whole story. A clinic which showed not attractive numbers for the history of the clinic started showing way more attractive business for the next 3 months. And eventually the clinic was funded. So the long story short, the banks and lenders are still working the way they were working in the 1980s. And there is a very few innovation happened in this area. We have a lot of potential from application process point of view to understanding how the clinic works, how to translate those information into finance statements. So this is where we are working on, and this is where we found how the traditional banking is different what we are working on today.
Thanks, Charmaine. So it seems like you are really flipping the script on it, what matters. I noticed that you have identified three specific problems here, like an information gaps, process pain, or even like lender friction. So, I mean, why like solve all three instead of just one? Do you think they are all kind of like interconnected, and that's why you basically have to like collaboratively or combinedly, address three of them instead of just solving one of the challenges?
That's a very interesting insight. And this is one thing I want to share here is that the product designers, we work a lot on the user journey. And these three things, the information gaps, process pain, and lender friction, these are the three parts of one journey of this funding. And I started seeing that fixing only one area wouldn't be able to give us success. So fixing, for example, if you fix only the information gaps, you wouldn't be able to get the right papers. You can educate the clinic, but you cannot give them access. And the same thing. So education without access is still blocking funding, but also access without readiness leads to bad debt as well. Mm-hmm. So this is where I want to say that readiness is, some clinics are not ready for funding today, but they will be ready in 2 months if they work on these three criterias. And if they take loans today, they might go in the trap of bad debt. So giving them education that how they should get ready for the right funding, what are the things that they need to get prepared in terms of documents, and finally matching those clinics with the right document at the right time with lenders, make this whole flow as smooth as possible.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's kind of like, re-emphasizing the fact that they're all part of the same ecosystem. It's about like connecting the dots. And that's where I think Liver are coming into the picture and helping the practitioner or even independent clinics to do that for them, which they probably don't have bandwidth or resources to, connect the dots to make a strong case for getting a loan from a bank. So thank you for sharing this information with my listeners. Now, one thing I wanted to ask is that, and I have to ask that because it seems like it's central to your mission. Why specifically focus on women-owned healthcare business?
So the number one reason is that women own a large share of clinics and receive less growth capital. So this is data, and I was so surprised to see that they are not the one who's receiving the most growth capital in this area. And the thing is, they're often more conservative with the leverage. Women think that they're not ready enough. They might need some more time, and they might need some more leverage. But the thing is, they are ready. They can go forward. They are just imposter syndrome who are not giving them this idea to go and get the funding. Another truth about the women-led clinics is that most of the clinics, according to data, are not only owned by the women, but also the most successful clinics are owned by women. So that's the second reason that I said that if we have all the right cards in our hand, why we are not focusing on women today? The woman, I'm being a mother. I know that how I am juggling the family with the business, with the houseworks, everything together. So we are the one who knows how to handle few things. But unfortunately, I don't see many women focused businesses who creates empathy and tell them that how strong business they have, and they can grow if they can get the right funding. So that was my reason on focusing on the women owned the healthcare businesses.
Perfect. Thanks, Sharmeen. And I would definitely think that while the women owned healthcare businesses were struggling with getting funding and stuff, will draw inspiration from here. So now, moving on to the next question, there's an important gap you're trying to fill here in the healthcare business. Let's talk about how you actually evaluate these businesses. Traditional lenders lean heavily on credit scores and assets. How does using real data and stories versus credit scores change the borrower-lender dynamic?
So the one thing that I started seeing in 2020, from 2024, 2025, and now 2026, is that with the new technology, the documents which had been harder to get in form of PDF, now they can be connected with the secured portals. So I'm working with two other companies who can extract the revenue statements from the clinics in a matter of seconds, and it is completely secured. Those technologies were not there in the 2020s or before. So today, we the thing is, in this age of AI and all those new access to make information more accessible for clinics and for the banks, we can make this process of uploading PDF and then analyzing those PDF and then going in, putting it into the different query boxes, things making easier in a way that Livora, the portal, it pulls the financial statements through the AI. It connects with the credit boxes, and the AI is going to examine what is the right lender for this type of demand. So I can't say that this could have been possible without using the new technologies. So the thing that we are seeing is that we still have a lot of time to evolve this process. And unfortunately, many traditional lenders and traditional banks, they haven't touched the surface of the new technology. So this is where we are excited of using those technologies to streamline the process of application processes.
Got it. So it seems like AI is helping deliver a platform in general to making that decision on which lenders to go with. So it's kind of like making that recommendation based on the data supplied by the healthcare clinics and the practice center. And that is really fascinating. And some of my listeners here, especially the women who are running businesses in the healthcare domain, looking for funding and stuff, I would highly encourage you to check out the platform or connect with Sharmeen. I will share her LinkedIn profile link and other details in the podcast vlog description. So please reach out to her and spark a conversation to see how Livora can help you in your business journey in running a clinic or any healthcare domain practices. Yeah. Now, moving on, so it's very refreshing the way your platform is helping the businesses, or at least they are planning to help the businesses with AI technology. Now, as we know that we're talking about healthcare, so of course, there are a lot of transparency factors will come into the picture, which is a two-way street. One thing you mentioned is that most clinic owners don't even know who lends outside the big banks. So how do you help clinic owners discover lending options beyond traditional banks? Like if they want to reach out to some venture capitalist or any third party like investors, how would they find that connection through your platform?
So we have created a system where the moment any clinic is looking for funding and they give us the minimal information, the three information that we are looking for today is number of months in the business and years in the business, monthly revenues, and finally the debt statement, if they have an existing debt. Only with these three information, we can connect them with the huge network of the lenders. So in the last 6 months, I had been building the lenders network on one side and the clinics community on the other side. Thanks to the portal that we have created through our software engineers, whenever the clinic apply for a funding, they get connected with multiple lenders. So they don't need to do the hustle to go look on the Google, on the ChatGPT, what kind of lender is going to be best match for me. We, Livora, we have this database of the lenders, which will be connected directly with them. So that's the number one thing to connect the lenders. And the second thing is there is a huge part of education. As you were speaking, that most of the clinic, they think that bank are the only option to get the lending. And if they get rejected by the bank, there is no other way. So since last few months, I started using multiple platforms from LinkedIn to Instagram to podcast like this to educate them that bank is not the only option. And another thing that the people don't know, and I'm trying to educate them, is that the bank is way more conservative than the other lenders. The reason why they're conservative is, number one, they have big deals going on. And if they can get multi-million dollar deals, their underwriting cost is more justified than looking at a small clinic who's looking for a couple of $1,000 to grow their clinic. So that's why bank focus is more on the bigger deals than the smaller clinics. Second is that the traditional banks takes months and months to analyze those documents. The bureaucracy is extreme in the banks. While the lenders, they are on the go. Get the application, analyze the documents, release the funds. Most of my clinics, they got funded within 5 days with only these three information. So I would say that these two parts of the equation, number one is having multiple lenders in one platforms, helping them to connect to get the best offer. Second is the education, that I'm trying to educate them. Then if they get rejected, they still have other options possible. And if those options are not ready today, they can get ready in 2-3 months, and we will help them to get ready to get the loan.
Perfect help. Thanks, Charmaine. It seems like the Livora platform and your organization does have a very comprehensive pathway for the clinics and the businesses to get the funding from either lenders or traditional banks, and whichever would be faster that satisfy their requirement. Now, one thing I really wanted to ask, since your organization kind of operates within the healthcare domain, so I have to ask this question. How does your organization make sure that the data that you're receiving from the healthcare clinics or practitioners are adhering to all the compliance guardrails and the immediate transfer? Because that's something is really important, because at the end of the day, we need to make sure that the clinics, whether they're sharing any PII or PHR data, would be heavily safeguarded within your software architecture layer or whatever. So what kind of compliance guardrails that you put in place so far to satisfy that?
So the number one thing, which is a personal commitment, is that our portal is extremely secured and has a military grade secured portal data surrounded it. We also committed to never sell the data to other marketing agencies and other. And I would say this is less of a technological problem, but more of a moral problem.
Correct.
When I was looking at, giving you one example, when I was founding Livora in early days, I was looking at the other companies who had been successful in this area. Mm-hmm. And so one thing I started the looking at how the application process works. So I started with a fake application. And when I came to an area where I have to put the address and the phone number of my business, I just looked at Google, found a restaurant in Houston, and took the all of the information out of that and put to put there in the application form. When I clicked the submit button, I've got an email that now we will be contacting you in next few days and you will be connected with multiple people. Mm-hmm. And this is where I found that I accidentally shared small business data to a platform where it can be exploited. And mm-hmm. then I later on apologized because I had no idea that how they're going to use. And apparently they started receiving calls from marketing agencies, lenders, and etc. Mm-hmm. So the difference between Livora and the other platform is that we never share your data with any other party than the one they want to work on. So the process looks like that. When they enter their statements, it stays secured within Livora's platform in the portal. We mask all the information, for example, the address of the clinic, the phone number, and all the other things which cannot be revealed. And then we shared a snapshot of what kind of funding this clinic is looking for. For example, X clinic situated in Ontario, looking for funding, they have this much revenue. And then the lenders give us a soft quote. This soft quote is shared with the clinic, and the clinic choose the lender he wants to or she wants to work on. Once the clinic choose that I'm going to work on with this lender because the term and the loan works best for me, we get out from the portal and then connect them directly. So if you see the whole process, it's less about technology, more about our commitment of not sharing their data to everyone we mm-hmm. are working with.
Okay, that's definitely very informative. And just to follow up question to that, as let's say I am, like a healthcare practitioner, or I want to start my own clinic or anything as such, and I would need a money from so-and-so lenders, I reach out to Livora. And if you just kind of walk me through the process, is it like the first thing Livora asks me to provide my consent to share information with a lot of other lenders? And is it that some sort of like a checkbox that I need to click and as a part of the filling up that form process?
Yes, exactly. So, first of all, during our website, we put all those terms and conditions of mm-hmm. when your data is going to be shared and how it is secured. Secondly, when the clinic has two options to share their data. Either they connect directly with the companies we're working with, Flink, who securely extract their data and keep it, or they can give us their bank statements. In both cases, the clinic is giving us a consent that we will be securely working with their data without overselling or giving it to third parties. So they do click on a consent form that if they agree to do that. Another way we also do is we never oblige them to share their data from the beginning. We also give them that you can book a 15-minute call with the founder or someone else from my team to say that, to discuss that how things works. Because sometimes when you don't meet a human in the process, you start doubting, is that what's this technology doing with my data? So giving this human possibility inside the process, give them more confidence that they are dealing with real people and not just technology and this. Yes, technology is helping us to streamline the process, but the humans are always there to ensure them that their information and their data is going to be secured with us.
I love that you are thinking beyond just a mere or immediate transaction, rather putting all the guardrails in place to make sure your customer data is secure. Now, one thing I wanted to ask to wrap up this conversation, and this question would be a little bit of forward-looking. Healthcare is changing rapidly, as we all know that, especially with the rapid growth of technology influencing that, and more consolidation in some areas, happening, more independence in other healthcare areas. So in your opinion, where do you see healthcare financing evolving as more practices becoming independent day by day?
So one thing I see that here, I see a bigger role of AI. Until now, the clinics had to become a financial expert in order to understand their own business and go for funding, etc. But now where I see things are going is that AI is taking over on the financial complexities. In few years, I see that not only my platform, but also the business statements and everything is going to be extremely simple and going to be executed and worked by the AI, which will help clinics to focus on what they are working on, patients. So instead of spending their time on understanding those papers and how to apply a loan and understanding different jargons of financial, AI is going to handle all this and they will spend their time with the patients. So this is, I would say, the I see in near future what's happening. It's already started happening, but we are at the beginning of the 2026 and I'm looking forward what will bring us the December 2026 in this finance area for the clinics.
I think that's a compelling vision for the future, aligning with the rapid growth of technology influencing the healthcare domain. So Sharmeen, thank you so much for joining us today and for the work you're doing to create more equitable access to capital for healthcare entrepreneurs. Now, for our listeners, if they would like to connect with you, what's the best way to reach out to you to have conversation about Livra or any healthcare-related stuff in general?
Thank you so much, Sam. That was an amazing discussion. And I look forward to listening your more podcasts by your channel.
Thank you. And just let me know, and let me know our listeners, how would they connect with you? Would they just reach out to you on LinkedIn, or do you have any other forums to connect with them and share more information about Livra?
So yes, they can directly reach out to LinkedIn. I am extremely accessible on any direct messages you send me through LinkedIn. You can also book a call with me through my website, www.lyvora.com. And then just shoot me a message and then I will be there to help you.
Thanks so much, Sharmeen. I appreciate your time and sharing information about your groundbreaking innovative initiatives, especially in the healthcare domain. For our listeners, if you enjoyed this conversation, please subscribe, leave a review, and share the episode with someone building something meaningful in healthcare domain. Until next time, keep innovating. Thank you.
Thank you.